Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. Are you excited? Because I know I am. I am your host, Emma Gunn Awardner, and for months now I have been getting DMs, emails and messages from listeners, lovely, lovely listeners, welcome, welcome, to have some of my previous guests back on again. And two of the guests that you have requested to return have been Caroline Hirons and Nadine Baggett. Now, we are in discussions about both those ladies coming back for another solo episode, but it occurred to me in the week that it could be a really good time for everyone involved if we did something of a three-way, if Caroline and Nadine and I all sat down, chatted about all things beauty industry, demystified some of the certain issues around confusion around skincare, talked about a few topical things, hashtag acidgate. So thankfully, the diaries aligned. A couple of days later, we were in Caroline's office and we went for it. We really, really did. And I have teased this on social media, so I know, as I am at the point of recording this intro, I know that some of you are very excited about listening to it. So with that in mind, I'm not going to do a long extended intro. I am just going to get to it. Now, I'm going to have to split this into two. Don't hate me, but we went on for a very long time and it's well over 2 hours. So I'm going to do it in two parts. It just seems to make sense. Feels good, right? So we're going to get into it, but I just want to remind you that if you are enjoying the show, I would be so grateful if you could go over to iTunes or wherever it is that you listen, hit that subscribe button, hit 5 stars, and maybe write a little review about what you like about the show. And if you're not on iTunes, if you're on Android and you can't leave a review, then why not email all of your friends and tell them how much you're enjoying it and that they should be listening too. As ever, I would absolutely love to hear from you. So drop me an email at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. I've been getting lots of messages recently and it's so good to be having chats with so many wonderful, brilliant listeners. Some of your points about 26 habits, some of your questions, some of your observations have been really excellent. Also, why not join the Facebook forum? It's a closed group, but I do approve every single member. And there's quite a few chats going on in there at the moment. Really interesting. So it's become this really lovely community. I will put the link in the show notes. Just click, ask to join, and I will personally approve it. And if you want to just slide into my DMs on Twitter or on Instagram, it's very simple. I'm at Emma Gunns, and I do try to get back to everybody as quickly as possible. Now, everything that we discuss in this show, and it's a lot, is going to be in the show notes. But here we are. Here is the Friday lunchtime this week. Here it is, The Emma Gunn Show featuring Caroline Hirons and Nadine Baggett.
Oh my God, Nadine, which one is actually in my face?
I'm not sure you're going to be able to use that because
I'll use it afterwards. Right, I was thinking about, you're both very good life advice givers, and this is going to come up at some point after beauty, because obviously...
Are we on already?
Well, I'm just going to start,
because if I try to
say, right, we're starting, then it'll be like you on the bed with Joe GB, where you'll go mute, because you'll be like, I don't want to be doing all the talking. I've been briefed.
I was briefed during that Joe GB thing to shut up.
I love Joe.
We all love Joe.
We
love you, Joe GB. good life advice givers. So I feel like when Caroline is going through a life thing or a work thing and it's pissing her off, the way that she will deal with it is a rant and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
the way that Nadine deals with a life or a work event is to give people the finger privately.
Silently.
From behind a screen. The
door, like a naughty teenager.
And then put on Lemonade by Beyoncé. Would you say that's a fair observation?
No, I absolutely do, yeah. No, I mean, we were joking earlier on about the three women who I channel, but they are all super angry, quite powerful black women, and I think that's what I am deep down inside. I want to come back in my next life as that. Because, yeah, no, I've had some massive changes in my life this year, and I've been really angry with people, and I felt really used by people, and, you know. And I'm not as strong as you in the sense that I don't take it semi-publicly.
That's you as in Caroline.
You as in Caroline, because you're incredibly, you know. Actually, let's be honest here. It's now Beyoncé, Rihanna, Missy Elliott, Caroline Hirons. because I think that having worked for magazines for years, I'm very aware of what I put out there. But yeah, no, I just put on a bit of Lemonade, dance around.
See,
middle fingers
I
up, hold your hands
playlist.
Eye. That's very interesting.
Oh, do you have a specific playlist for Rage?
I have a specific Rage playlist.
How long is that playlist?
Quite long.
Is it?
Yeah. Should I tell you how many songs are on it?
Tell me how many
songs
are on
it. I won't play said songs, obviously.
No.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, metal, and it's basically metal, let's be honest.
I remember you saying, actually, that when you used to have your corporate job, what was the song that you used to listen to when you knew you had to go into a meeting?
Place
song?
For My Head.
Yeah. Oh, Linkin Park. Linkin Park, yeah.
So she's thrashing her way out of anger. I'm twerking my
way
out of anger.
Your way,
and nobody needs to see a 55-year-old backside twerk, trust me.
And this soft ass is meditating my way through anger.
Yes!
She's already bollocked me off this morning. Emma, I watched your Insta stories. You've been reading too many self-help books.
What did you say?
I said mental scan.
She wakes up in the morning, does a meditation, and does a mental scan. I said, no, normal people just say, I sit and think, oh, how do I feel about that? No, she's doing a mental scan.
No, all
like something out of Terminator.
No, all I meant was, is that when I get up in the morning, shuffle to the kitchen and make coffee, my brain goes, you've got so much to do today, and you're not going to get it done, you wanker. And then I have to pull myself off
the ledge.
Why
would you talk to yourself like
exactly.
that? What is wrong with you?
I know, I scare myself into sort of overanalyzing and paralyzing myself, but then I'm fine.
And then
fine.
You text us, and then we abuse you, and then you're fine.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
You love me.
A little bit. So this is a live action WhatsApp group, because we do have a WhatsApp group for some such occasions.
But I think it's very interesting that three successful women handle things in different ways. Mm. I'm not telling you that's not the way to handle it. It's just not the way I handle
no,
it.
No, but you're not fluff and nonsense.
No. I can't be dealing with woo and fluff and nonsense.
Nadine sent
don't
me a,
crystal me or chakra me.
Nadine sent me a message this week, and it was a screen grab of some crystals, and she just said, this picture got somebody unfollowed. Naming no names.
No, I need to know who it is off the record.
Well, I'll tell you off the record, but not here.
Obviously.
So, what I thought would be interesting...
A skincare company sent out crystals with a cream... which I didn't get, doesn't bother me anyway. But they were focusing on the crystals. Because this week, this is going up on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
This week we've had the full moon, haven't we? We've had the
mate, I have had five full moons this week. Every day has been a full moon moment for me.
Do you believe in it?
No. But
right.
When people tell me that's why I'm going crazy, I'm happy to accept it. Otherwise, I just think that a lot of people are lying pieces of shit. So I have to think that they're just having a full moon moment and they'll
right.
get past it and then go back to Jesus and be nice again. Otherwise, I would just walk around going, is everyone an arsehole?
Yes. No one wants to do that. So. Whereas you think, when people say things about the moon, you...
No, some of my best friends are completely woo, but I just know. No, stop externalising what you're going through.
And also, stop externalising excuse. Like, stop being an idiot. Don't be a dick. Hashtag don't be a dick. Don't use the moon as an excuse. For
also,
appalling behaviour.
But also, don't put your fate into the hands of anybody else but yourself.
Mm.
Don't put it in the stars. Don't put it in your horoscope. Don't put it into crystals. Don't put your power into other people, either. Just don't.
That's where...
Owning yourself, owning your flaws, owning your faults, owning your own destiny, owning your career, owning where you are in your life.
Mm.
Did you see the Will Smith thing? So important. Will Smith's now on Instagram and everybody was reposting it. And he did this thing in a gym, and I've never been a particular big Will Smith fan, but he was absolutely right. He was saying, even if you go through something really, and obviously you do when you're younger, you go through working relationships, personal relationships where you've been abused, emotionally, physically, whatever, And then he was saying, but eventually, I think one of his children said, I'm blaming that person. And he said, eventually, you've got to stand up and go, I get that. I get where I've been in the past, but where I am here and now and where I am moving forward is under my control.
Mm. What he was basically saying was, it might be their fault, but it's your responsibility.
How you react to fix it. Yeah, to fix it. That's exactly what he said. And I loved him for it.
It's good advice, rather than, yeah, crystals. And
someone somewhere will have it recorded. I don't know if it's in his highlights, but I just thought that was genius.
Oh, it was a story. I'll find it. Mm. You guys are so much better on social media than I am.
No, to be honest, I don't follow him. I don't follow many men on social media, but a lot of my people I do follow were screen grabbing it and showing it. And I just thought it was really interesting.
Okay.
And that's basically my principle in life.
I like it. It does explain a lot about you, because I never hear you moan. I never hear you talk about something that happened a while ago. You don't hang on to things. You really...
God, who has time? Who has time?
Don't say you never hear me moan. I moan a lot. I just don't moan about my life and my situation, because I don't think, one, anybody wants to hear it.
No.
And two, if you're moaning about it, put that energy into changing it. Mm. I'm not saying we're not moaning. Before we put this on, press record, the Hirons and the Bagger were moaning for a full 10 minutes.
But, you know, it's kind of, I call it sort of, you know, happy moaning. I'll just complain about stuff, but
you
I don't let it go. And I don't let it get me down. And I don't sort of, I mean, I would say that I hold long-term grudges, but they don't affect me. I don't care about them.
So it's not like when they say holding a grudge is like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think if you hold a grudge and you carry anger, that's different. I don't carry anger. I just carry DGAF.
So it would be, right, I'm holding a grudge against you and I'm never working with you again, you sack of poop, or never being your friend again.
Or, you know, I'm just, yeah.
But I think that also comes from a position of power. You know, I've done events with Caroline. That she's an incredibly powerful woman. Mm-hmm. And I don't only mean that personally, I mean that professionally. Mm-hmm. Nobody... can shift product like Caroline. So if she's annoyed with a brand or a distributor or a retailer, she can move on.
Well, this is another thing. This is where our WhatsApp group gets quite interesting, because you and I have obviously worked for magazines where...
We've got Stockholm Syndrome, we've got Caroline says.
She's always like, the pair of you got Stockholm Syndrome.
Grow a backbone, not a wishbone.
Because
that's a sweatshirt as well. That's like Fanny's Flights and Festivals.
Yes. Oh, but I didn't invent that. That's from Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, is that? Okay?
Yeah.
Because we will...
But it stuck with me.
If a brand annoys us, or if we feel like there's, you know, something that doesn't feel very good about a working relationship with a brand, we'll just suck it up and chat to each other privately. Because we have the muscle in us of not upsetting them. Because
that
would have got us into trouble in our old jobs.
Mm.
Whereas you're just like, deal with it.
But I've also heard some great stories about Caroline. Bearing in mind, Caroline has only been self-employed how many years?
2000, end of 2009, 2010.
Okay, so that's 8 years, so considerably longer than you or I. Mm. But by the same token, she's worked for some really big brands and has told them to get into the sea.
Get in the sea.
And brand owners, and I only heard this from a PR the other day.
Yeah.
A lot of people now say to me, in fact, I'm getting emails going, you know, Caroline, can you introduce me?
Oh, shut up.
Seriously. And so I had a meeting with a PR the other day who said to me, who had previously worked with somebody and has now gone back to the somebody.
I know exactly who this is.
And she said to me, oh, my God, yeah, you know Caroline, don't you? Do you know what? Caroline's amazing. She told the owner of that company to fuck off. Wow. How many times have you been in a meeting where you wanted to say that and you've never done it? Caroline's done it.
To be in context, it was totally appropriate and called for. Just want to put that out there.
I don't believe for a second that you would tell someone to fuck off unless they really deserved it.
They did.
I don't think you just impulse do it. I think you're like, right, I'm looking at the situation and you, F off.
But God, I also say Caroline basically supports her entire family.
Mm.
4 kids. Incredibly sexy husband.
You'll love that.
Gorgeous
place in London. I mean, that's walking away from a working relationship is not without its, you know, results.
I did it with a brand, as you
and
know.
That's power.
Yeah, when I gave my notice in at Lizelle, I undernoyed about it because I had a great job and I'd been there but I knew I had to leave. It was like putting a, you know, normal peg into a messed up hole. And I was like, no. And it was Jim.
Are you the peg or the messed up hole?
I am the normal peg in that relationship, trust me. And it was Jim who said, it was Jim who 100%, I was like, oh, I can't do it. The kids and the mortgage and, you know, and he just went, love, just give your notice in. What's it matter? What's the worst that's going to happen? We're not going to lose a house. Kids are going to be fed. You'll get another job tomorrow. Give your notice in. F them, pretty much. And I just hit send. It was a beautiful thing. He's a good man.
He's a good man. And he is very cute. I just have to say, you know, she's got a massive thing for Simon Le Bon.
Yeah, yeah.
Your husband is so much sexier.
Oh, obviously he's so much sexier, but I didn't fall in love with him when I was 11.
Okay.
We went to an event in October last year, and it was the...
Breast Cancer Awareness.
Yeah, it was at the Ambassador's House. And I walked in, and it was a very crowded room, and I was a little bit overwhelmed, I have to be honest. And I just saw this gentleman, glasses, moustache and a scarf, and I was like, oh, it must be a photographer. And as I got a bit closer...
A bit rock and roll.
Yeah, it's a bit rock and roll, a little bit edgy, had like a...
Didn't belong in beauty.
You could imagine him shooting, like, the supermodels back in the day.
Oh, God, he's really going to...
And then I was like, oh, he's with Caroline. And then the penny dropped, I was like, oh, my God, Georgian! Mr. Harrins, hello! Chewed his ear off for
he enjoyed that evening surrounded by gorgeous women all night.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he had a good time.
It was a fun evening. So skincare experts, both of you, Caroline, I'm pointing at Nadine, this bodes well.
Nadine
has been a health and beauty journalist for how many years?
26 years now.
26.
And I was late to the game because I was a trained journalist first, so I didn't actually start.
A trained journalist? They still exist.
Yeah, as in NCTJ. Back in the day,
NCTJ.
You could not work in magazines until you did your NCTJ and you became a member of the National Union of Journalists.
By the way, I say that to the journalists, I say that in a totally supportive manner,
no.
Not slagging them off. It's just when I look at magazines now, half the articles, it doesn't even list that it's written by a journalist.
No.
Like, because they're just getting people on the cheap and not paying journalists what they're worth.
They didn't even back in the day.
So I was 29 before I even became a beauty editor. So
right.
Yeah. I did features first and health and stuff like that, and then I thought, oh, it's much more fun over that side of the office. What are they doing?
But you're,
oh, they're the beauty department.
But your health background meant that you came in with a very, at the time, unique perspective.
Yeah, I'm just really super sceptical. I'm totally on the side of science. I always ask the questions that
they don't want to answer.
That, no, that people don't, the brands don't want to answer.
What's the ingredient?
Your active ingredient comes from space. A, does it really come from, you're branding it as space, does it really come from space? And in which case, did it come from an asteroid that hit the Earth? If it didn't...
How did you get it? How did you
test
it?
And that's fine. Make it in a lab. I don't have a problem with making things in a lab. I'm totally pro-labs. Just be transparent.
Mm.
One of the things that Caroline and I both like about brands is brands that are transparent. Caroline's just written a brilliant blog post about listing inky ingredients. That won't tell you all, but it'll tell you damn sight more than just going... this will solve your problems.
Mm.
I mean...
because that's Caroline's background, isn't it? Way before the blog. I know we've covered this in the previous podcast, but you've got years and years of working in the industry and, like,
yeah.
Hands-on.
That's the difference. I mean, I think I saw Rose McGowan this morning on an interview she did on TV, and it was the first time I've thought, oh, actually, I like her, because I've always thought she was a bit, like, hard or just a bit messed up. I don't know, you know, just... but she said... she was talking about CAA and the Me Too movement and how... Alyssa Milano
mm-hmm.
is married to a CAA agent, and CAA were the ones who were accused of pimping out people to Harvey Weinstein, so of course they're in it for the PR. And then the woman, and this is what, and it immediately made me think of the beauty industry, and I'm in no way comparing my work experience in the beauty industry with that and Rose McGowan at all, but what she said was, the woman who's interviewing her, which always pisses me off, said, these are some very powerful people you're talking about, semi-threatening. And Rose McGowan sat up in her chair and she went, I know, so am I. And I went, corn, love! Literally, I was in the kitchen making a brew and I went, corn, love! Because nothing pisses me off more than a perceived threat.
Mm-mm.
And that's what I've experienced in the beauty industry. Like, oh, really? You're going to get another job? You don't have a degree. Where are you going to go? Like, just, you know.
And I agree. I've watched that Rose McGowan documentary as well. And I think what's interesting about it is it's that constant... the beauty industry is very much manned by women.
At every single level.
So from the person that's consuming it, to the person that's selling it, to the person that's writing about it, to the person that's distributing it, and then at some level it all becomes men. It's the ultimate patriarchal society. And I love it when, for example, Vasiliki at Unilever in the UK, a woman becomes super powerful,
runs the brand.
She kicks
I love
Vasiliki. And it's why I always support women women-led brands, because you have to. Even if you don't believe in their principles, you have to support other women. I'm a diehard feminist. But I do think that you either rebel against it, like Caroline and me eventually, and you own your own platform and your own your own voice, or ultimately you will always be patronised. And that's the identity that I get with Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting, also the media is all owned by men as well, I think what's interesting is our opinion of Rose McGowan came through a voice that was male controlled. So yep. They were like, she's hysterical, yep. She's hard, mm-hmm.
She's
a slut,
emotional.
She's emotional, she shaved her head off. Well, no wonder, because she was massively abused as a child, raised in a crepe. No wonder she's tough on the surface. She's had to become tough to survive.
And then shat on all over by Hollywood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hate being patronised. I hate being, Jim bought a t-shirt the other day and I was like, oh, love. That's the kind of thing I'd wear. And it says, go on, underestimate me. Underneath it says, that'll be fun. And I was like, that's the man I married. Go on, Mr. Hirons.
That is excellent. I like that. So, with both of your platforms, you actually, considering that we know that this is the structure of the beauty industry, the world in which we all work, you were like, no, I'm going to make my own niche. And that is a bit terrifying. This podcast is that same thing, your channel. Did you ever think twice about it, or was it just, no, this is obvious, I have to do it?
I didn't think twice, but I just did the blog. I didn't think the blog would ever become my job. And I'm still working in the industry.
Mm.
So I didn't think the blog would become something that would make money, or that was something I would even have to, or become the powerful sort of thing it has.
Mm.
It's always terrifying. I'm a working class girl. I've been in situations where when my mum and dad got divorced, where we didn't have any money. And Jim comes from a working class background. And, I'm talking piss poor when we were kids, both of us. And for short periods of time in my case, And that never, ever leaves you. You never have. The only thing I have as my background, my backbone, is my mum. I know if it all went to shit tomorrow, I could turn up on her doorstep and she'd go, come on then, the kids have to sleep on the sofa. My mum has always been my complete, not so much a rock, but as like Ayers rock, like a boulder, And the kind I've always joked and said, if I got arrested for murder, my mum would go, what did they do? Literally, what did they do to deserve it? Because obviously they deserved it.
Oh, we'd be on a WhatsApp group going, oh, I wish I got there first. Because I can pretty much guarantee anybody you'd want to murder, we'd have always wanted to murder.
Pretty much. So yeah,
we'd just be the alibi.
The fear is always there. Every time I hit send on a blog post that I know will piss off some members of my industry, I have the fear.
But that doesn't come across. I would never think that.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course, because I'm human. I don't do this for the drama, But when I'm right, I get the feeling. I can't explain it. I just get the feeling that I know I'm right, and I know there are women out there, or men, and men obviously, that feel the same way as me, and I hit send, and then lo and behold, within 20 seconds, my comments are full of, oh my God, I thought it was just me.
Isn't that interesting? I would never have thought that there was a second of doubt with that.
But I think the doubt is healthy because it shows I care.
Mm.
I think if you don't have the doubt and you're just out there with abandon creating drama, there's no value in that for anyone.
Mm.
It's self-destructive. I don't want to destroy I love this industry.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we both genuinely love this industry.
I love this industry. It's like I'm in my happy place every single day when I'm at work. Are there things that are messed up about it? Yes. Is it difficult to call some of them out? Yes. The whole thing about Tarte's foundation not catering to women of colour.
That annoyed me.
And I watched all of my friends on YouTube who basically, like Jackie Einar and Steph Nicole apologised and said, in the past, I've never even thought about, I'd go in and pick up a colour. I've never even looked down the darker shades. And now, I give you my word, I'm not going to review any brand that doesn't cater to women of colour. And, she was explaining how in the industry it's down to the retailer and it's, the shelf space and very, very viable arguments. And I watched it and said, no, it's because they're not at the table. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you just said, Nadine. The hierarchy in the beauty industry is white.
White
men,
middle
class to wealthy women who went to uni. There is no, I cannot think of one person of colour in the hierarchy in the UK beauty industry. Can you?
No. Not above PR director.
No.
Not brand manager. No.
No.
Jeez.
Not one. They are not at the table. They're not hired. They're not at the table. So if you go into any of even the brands I've worked for, there's no black faces on the NPD team, which is new product development.
Yeah.
So they're testing product for each other, and they're all white. different shades of white, and that's why you get, you know, cream, beige, honey. Oh, you got a tan, sand. Honey. Also, black people don't call it tan. That's telling everyone that you're catering to white people. Mm. Black people do not tan the way that you put the colour tan. It drives me insane. Mm. So you can scream about inclusivity all you like, but you're not sitting at the table, and that is not the fault of people of colour. It's because they are not being hired.
Mm.
When I worked in Harrods, store approval, we all knew openly, if you had black staff, you'd have to pray they got through store approval. We all know it. It's all been in the press. In the time of Al Fayed, he would only hire blonde women who were young, thin, wore pearls and were pretty and preferably came from Fulham.
So I'm so emboldened by the inclusivity movement in the sense of body positivity, embracing different skin tones, embracing different ages. And I think from our point of view, from a digital point of view, from Twitter, from Instagram, you can create your feed so that it is an incredibly positive place where these women are all really inclusive. So you want to see real women, as Caroline started with a That's Not Me campaign, reflected back at you. But the brands are still, they talk the talk, but so few of them walk the walk.
And then when they have the perfect opportunity to prove themselves, it all goes to shit, like L'Oreal. With the Amina. Dropping...
Amina and Monroe Bergdorf. But I have to say, at least L'Oreal are trying.
But are they trying? When Monroe Bergdorf, they could have backed her up to the hilt and said, actually, it was taken out of context, this is what she said, and we support her. And they didn't. They ran for the hills.
I think that decision was made out of Paris, and Paris are incredibly conservative. But I think at least L'Oreal are attempting to be inclusive of all ages and all skin tones and all sizes. I can't think of another brand that is coming even close to that. I really can't.
It does,
but you're right. I do think things are changing. I think it's the aging thing is going to be difficult. But until women of a certain size and a certain skin colour are at the table making the decisions about new products, about marketing, about advertising, about PR, until they're at the table and they don't feel less than, and they have the power to use their voice and go, just a second,
hang on
a minute here, like I am now, like I didn't know I was ageist when I was 25, now I'm 55 and I look around and I don't see myself reflected back and I'm gobby, so I go, just a second here, love, where's the older person in that campaign? I shouted out Revlon the other day because they're like, oh, inclusivity, slim, beautiful,
yeah,
multi-skin toned, nobody particularly larger, nobody older, nobody like that. And I think it's the same. And I think until you have that voice, and you wonder why these people are angry, but they have a right to be angry, and they have a right to be shouty about what they say. And it's why I support people who are body positive and are inclusive. And I think Monroe Bergdorf's amazing.
Some people think inclusivity means that they've used 23, 24, and 25-year-olds in their campaign.
Or they've actually gone up to a size 14.
Woohoo! 14! Woohoo!
Or you might use a woman who's in her early 40s.
Oh, come on now. Calm down, Nadine. Calm down.
You're hysterical.
Yeah. So I don't think any brand...
Are you on your period?
I'm not. I haven't had a period for at least 5 years.
That's why I'm here all week. Are you on your period? From the gaming community. Nice chat.
Why the gaming community?
Oh, because I tweeted something and it got picked up and put on a gaming drama channel. So I've had like 14-year-old boys with no pubes calling me a whore.
What?
Nice.
Okay, what's the worst thing that's ever... this is going to sound so much better. What's the worst thing that anybody has ever said to you digitally? Because the thing about digital, we were discussing this, the thing about digital is if somebody hides behind a phone...
Hirons picks up her phone.
Oh, a screen grabbed it.
Or a keyboard or anything like that, they feel they have the right to say anything to your face. So while she's looking for that, you first, Emma, what's the worst thing anybody's ever said to you?
No, to be honest, I think I've got off very, very lightly. I've never had anything particularly negative. I've had... That doesn't mean that anyone needs to start now. I think the worst thing, actually, recently, was that somebody who often likes my Instagram pictures, etc., left a review for me on iTunes, and it was really quite scathing. And
what did they say?
It was about the Brandon interview, and they basically said, oh, she was so far up his arse, it was obsequious. And I was like, well, Brandon's actually quite a hard person to wrangle.
Oh,
you don't understand the...
So hard to interview.
You don't understand the dynamic in the room. He was sort of on a chair next to the sofa, and I was on the sofa that was plunging, so there was this weird sort of I was sort of down here and he was up there. And so that does have an effect on how an interview goes. And also, I hadn't met him before. And so, yes, there were definitely times when he was talking about stuff and I was like, where on earth is he going? But
that's very Brandon.
Yeah, but the purpose of this podcast is to let people kind of speak. And so I read it and obviously, like, for an hour or two, was like, oh, she's right, I should probably stop doing my podcast. I'm terrible, I'm useless. And then I thought, well, she's totally entitled to her opinion. But it did have the effect of, why did you have to leave such a negative review? If you don't like it, just don't listen.
So I had two things recently that got to me, because I've only been doing YouTube for a couple of years, and 99% of the time you get positive reviews, but the one that always sticks. So I've had two recently. I've had, off the back of the Brandon interview, I had a whole host of people going, stop interrupting him, you're such a bad interviewer. I've been interviewing people for 25
you're a good
years.
Interviewer.
Can I just say, every one of those people that said that, you try sitting in front of Brandon Truax.
Yeah. Well, how many?
An hour and a half, knowing that you've got to answer every single one of your followers and community's questions that you'd ask, and he starts going off on some obscure ingredient for hours on end.
And you had someone actually say to you, you did a good job of wrangling him, whereas when Emma did it, she just let him speak.
Oh, I
you
didn't actually even notice that. Really.
Talking to Brandon is like herding cats.
Yeah. Yes.
So talking to
like herding
is like
kittens.
It's like herding kittens who've been given sugar and catnip.
Yeah.
My worst comment is language. Can I say the language?
Of course you can.
Who the fuck are you? You retarded fuck. Just kill yourself already. Do something actually relevant and then talk shit about other people, you sack of dead skin. That was this morning. He seems like a nice boy. Your mum's proud of you, love.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's also easy to ignore.
Yeah, that's easy to ignore.
I have one that wasn't so easy to ignore. I was doing, and this what frightens me, I film my little videos and then I watch them back on my fairly large Apple screen. Yeah. And then I realise people like you are watching them through their widescreen TVs. Nobody needs to see this face in widescreen, high definition. And somebody went, I'm really sorry, I just can't listen to a word this woman says. I need to concentrate on her moustache.
Well, no,
the funny thing is obviously I'm getting slightly hairy as I'm getting older, but I never do anything about my moustache. I instantly ran into the other room to my size 30 mirror and thought, do I need to do something about my moustache? Whereas what I should have done is channeled Caroline Hirons and went, you know,
I had
into the sea.
Here's the thing with online. Let's not dwell on it because it's not a negative space for me. My lot are great. You know,
yeah,
I get the odd random. You know, but I had one. The thing is, if you get a comment online and you respond in the same context and tone and use the same syntax that they gave to you, you're called a bully. If you respond in the same way. So someone left a comment on my Instagram that said, "You need to do something about your eye bags." Do you remember this? And I just replied underneath, instead of deleting it or just ignoring it, I put, you need to do something about being a dickhead. And it was like one of my most liked comments ever. Like, just why? You need to do something about your eye bags.
Yeah.
Why would you? Why?
Yeah.
Who does that?
I think somebody the other day said to me, a really sweet little fashion blogger said to me the other day, she said that somebody had really come for her, and she said, she just sat back, she got really upset about it, and she replied back, she said, can I ask you a question? Would you come up to me in the street and say that to me? Because if you wouldn't say it to me, what makes you think you can say it and type it? I still read that. I'm still hurt by it. But then, obviously, what I do is channel Beyonce.
Yeah.
Middle
I don't
fingers
get hurt by
up,
it.
Put your hands high.
Do either of you ever take it as, there's no such thing as bad...
No.
What do I
no.
mean?
You no, know I still... I
no,
still...
we're too old for that shit. I don't... You know, there's no such thing as bad press. Yes, there is. Check Glossier's Instagram today if you don't think so. Yes, there is.
But no, I just mean you'd rather people be talking about you than not talking about
you. Because if it's unnecessary... If someone said, actually, the review you did for this, if you... Because I get people pulling me up all the time. Mm. That's totally fine. You know, the blog is 8 years old. Of course I'm going to change my mind about things, have different ingredients. Things are going to change. So if someone says, well, when you reviewed this, that had the same ingredient and you didn't mind that. And I'll go back and I'll look and I'll go, right, why would I think that? Look at the formulas, look at the context, and then reply to them and go, you're spot on. Or, well, actually, what you'll find is that I know something about, because I think people forget I'm on the inside. I'm not looking at this industry from an outsider. So I know things that I, A, can't talk about, B, have signed NDA. Like, you know, there's always other stuff behind the scenes. But I'm the first to go, thank you for pointing that out, I've altered it, or I don't think that's right, but thanks for your comment, you know, blah blah blah. When people have feedback, totally fine. But if they said, you know, if they'd have said, you posted about this 6 years ago and you said this about it, and also you have eye bags, I'd delete it because I don't care. If that's all you've got to say to me. Do better. Be a better person.
Yeah. And also, we were discussing this earlier on because skin changes, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, skin formulations, makeup, beauty has changed so dramatically that things do change. I remember somebody coming back to me and going, well, just a second, I thought all alcohol was bad for your skin. And I'm like, well, just a second, formulations change. There are certain types of alcohol, if they're fatty esters, that aren't bad for your skin. And also, if it's on your face for a short period of time, and it's also loaded with hyaluronic acid and glycerin and natural moisturising factors, you can balance things out. Mm. It's not a static industry. Things change. Opinions change.
This is a really interesting time in beauty, I think, because it's gone from being quite black and white to do use this, don't use that, to being... read the ingredients list, understand what you're doing. Which
do we feel though that whole Deciem ordinary thing is just going too far now?
Yeah, it's making people think they're scientists.
It's not only making things people. I've literally got followers that screen grab everything they buy, and instead of buying one or two things, they've bought 8 things from The Ordinary. And they're like, "What do I do now?" And I'm like,
"Don't do it. Ask Brandon.
For a start, don't put all those on your face at once. You know, you can't go from using a Clinique solid cleansing bar and a tub of Pond's to 15 different Ordinary steps. Mm. Just, yeah, treat your skin with a little bit of respect, back off, add things in slowly. And, yeah, I feel like how many different retinols are there now? It's just all really confusing.
This is one of the things I wanted to talk to you, retinol specifically, because it's had... There was the BBC documentary where it came out as being a proven topical to have a noticeable impact on skin in terms of the reduction of fine lines and wrinkles and et cetera, et cetera. And now everywhere people are going, I've bought this retinol. But maybe, how do they, first of all, is that correct? Is it something everybody should be using?
Yes.
When should you start using it? Is there an age that's too young? I remember I texted you recently because someone I know was using it age 30, but using quite a lot. And I said, is that not too early? And you were like, no, as long as she's not got oily skin. Is that right?
Depending on their lifestyle. I think it depends on your lifestyle, how old you are, because there is only... Your skin has a life cycle. You can only turn it over so many times. Mm. So that's why these women who have super strong peels, generally in New York area, you can see through their face.
Oh,
because they've peeled themselves within an inch of their life, you know. So retinol...
So can you peel too much?
Of course you can, yeah. And everybody in the industry knows retinol is the gold standard. It just is. Vitamin A. We should say vitamin A, not retinol. Vitamin A is the gold standard. So I wasn't surprised by the documentary. You know, I did think it was just another... It was a bit pointless in the end. We didn't...
TV companies not taking beauty seriously.
Oh, no, I thought it was a value for this reason, because this came up in the podcast forum on Facebook, and I said, yes, a lot of you are feeling like you'd heard it before, but this was mainstream. This is a big deal. This was taking the conversation to a much wider audience. So for that reason, I think it was quite a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think the kind of people that we engage with on social, our followers, our listeners, our viewers, are already way ahead of that documentary.
That curve, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm of the opinion that retinol can be, and we're not talking derivatives of retinol, we're talking retinol and upwards, yeah? Mm. So vitamin A basically is the gold standard anti-aging ingredient. There are different formats of it. The different formats are all at some point converted in the skin to something called retinoic acid. Mm-hmm. And retinol is the closest you can get to retinoic acid, which is what your skin actually uses. When your skin, when you put retinol on your skin, it converts it to retinoic acid in your skin. Mm-hmm. Retinoic acid is a prescription cream that obviously you can only get from your doctor or a dermatologist. But there are retinol palmitates. There are a whole different collection of molecules.
Palmitate.
So basically what they do is they add an oil onto it. It slows its release into the skin. So basically there are different forms of vitamin A that you can use. But once you get to the retinols, there is a risk of irritation. My argument would be, if you don't have a problem to solve in your 20s, so if you've got breakouts, pigmentation, go for it. Unless you've got a problem to solve, don't really think about introducing it, probably until you see the first signs of aging.
Yeah.
But now there are a whole new generation of retinols that are less irritating, and they make them less irritating by simply sticking a molecule on the end of maybe an oil or something like that, so it slows its release into your skin, because it goes into your skin really quickly. But by the time you get to my age, or I mean, Caroline's younger than me, but
I've only just started using it now.
Yeah, quite rightly so. What, you've just turned 40? Yeah.
Only because you gave it to me.
And it will, and it will suit your skin, because you have in the past had slightly oily skin, and I think you're exactly the right age to start using it. By the time you're Caroline's age, you should be into a regime, and by the time you're my age, without a doubt, it should be your gold standard every single night. And I use a mixture of a retinol, a 1% retinol. And then in certain periods of the year in the winter, I use a prescription Retin A.
Now, one of the things I want to get both your opinions on, I recently changed my skincare because I went round to her place to teach her how to use an affiliate link program.
And in return, I gave her
a skincare regime.
Of serums.
And she said, start layering serums, because I will happily, and for years have, just put Astral.
What?
I know, you're going to get really upset, aren't you? You know Astral?
No, right. I know Astral. My face isn't dumbfounded because of what Astral is.
She could give you the inky list like that.
What? Till when?
Maybe not every night, but I used to quite like it because of the simplicity. And it gave me the same feeling the next morning as Creme de la Mer. But maybe like I stopped using it in November?
Are you shitting me?
Don't eject me from this building,
Caroline. How are we
friends? I don't know. I think because I'm so lovable and endearing.
Mm. God help me.
She's like a puppy dog. No, but choose your sofa.
So this is useful. Oh my God.
I'm so tired.
She's lost the will to live. Okay. So now I'm a complete convert. I now layer serums like I'm a skin intellectual through and through. Where do you guys both stand on this? The layering of serums and no creams?
I love laying a serum. When I had the flu for the last 75 years, it feels like, all I could reach for was serums, and I knew I was just going to be so dehydrated between being ill, having a fever, and being on antibiotics. And I was just layering hyaluronic acid, different ones of hyaluronic acid. And if I could reach a Murad hydrating essence, I'd shove that on top. But I'm not. You know, I did the blog review of the Walida skin food, which is thick grease. You know, you could use it to oil a car. But I did it because it's perfect as a temporary fix if you've done something to your skin, or you have chronically, systemically dry skin that you inherited from your parents, or eczema or something like that. But you wouldn't use it every day, because your skin's not going to... I mean, it's just not necessary.
See, I think, and I said this to you, Nadine, I think that what I had become addicted to, and what my brain interpreted as me doing good for my skin in terms of its health and its look and its feel, etc., was that tacky, dewy feeling. Like the kind you get when you have a facial and they do all that layering when they finish with a cream.
That kind when you have a facial and then you go out into the room and wash your face because you can't bear the tacky, dewy feeling.
Yeah, that one. And it's all in your hair. Yeah. That one.
Oh,
yeah.
And on your lips.
I feel like we've been trained to believe that that's the feeling of moisturiser.
But I think we have.
Totally.
This is the thing. I think with the exception of something like the three-step, which from Clinique, which was groundbreaking at the time, it was essentially, and that's what the BBC documentary said, all you really need for great skin is a moisturiser. Mm-hmm. And a moisturiser at the point was just oil and water in a cream that hydrated your skin. Now, we all know Sally Hughes has clinically dry skin all over her body. She's 10% of the population, and you can always tell people that got clinically dry skin. Sam and Nick have also got it as well. Their skin is flawless. They literally do not have a pore. They're not producing any sebum at all. And you look at Sam and Nick and you just go, that's not fair.
But Sam and Nick hate their skin.
But they continually feel like their skin is a size too small all over their body. I don't get that, all right? So... then you've got 80% of the population that have got normal skin, then you've got 10% of the people that have got chronically oily skin, and that's obvious. Large pores, breakouts, blackheads, all those things. The vast majority of people, I believe, do not need a moisturiser. And that's not because they've been wrong for 20 years, it's because formulations are now available that are so sophisticated they give all the hydration without the need for the added oil, without the need to seal the skin in. 20 years ago, with the exception of A&R, there were no serums.
So A&R being Advanced Night Repair by Estée Lauder.
I literally layer one or two serums, and then I always put a hydrating milky serum on the top. So I'm basically doing water-based or solvent-based, and at the last minute I'm putting a really fine layer of a humectant on my skin, and that's enough for my skin. It is. But I have normal skin. I'm 55, I'm wrinkly, I'm getting old. My skin is not getting any drier as I'm getting older. What do you think? I'm now asking Caroline a question, because what do you think of this message, which I don't know if it's true or not, that by using a really heavy cream, your skin switches off its ability to produce sebum?
I don't think it does. It's a very aubergy thinking.
It's a very dermatologist thinking.
Yeah, and not all derms, you know.
No.
But it's not that it...
I was talking to Kate Somerville about it yesterday.
Yeah, it's not that it... I don't think that it switches it off. Your skin is... If we could switch off bodily functions by applying something topically, we'd kill cancer, you know? Mm. The skin's intelligent, but it's not rocket science. You know, it's like, come on. But I do think that we over-egg the... I think the time from 25 years ago when it was buy this big thick of luxury cream, they're gone. You know, I was... When I read Estée Lauder's biography... The whole thing is based around the her making this big, thick, luxury cream that she would put on people on counter and it would transform their skin. Well, it does. And makeup artists who work backstage at the Oscars will use Walida Skin Food because, or something as thick, because it puts a layer of moisture on the skin that means everything you put on top of it is going to sit perfectly for about 5 hours. And that's all you need for an award show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll go home, they'll strip their face, they'll eat a burger, and they'll look like the rest of us.
But also, I just think, you know, when those original cold creams, iconic cold creams, or, for example, 8-hour cream, when they were all formulated, there was nothing else on the market.
Yeah.
We are so far beyond that.
So far beyond that.
That loads of cellophane, a square pot, you open it up, tub of cream, costs you between £80 and £800. You've got a little silver spoon in it and you put it on. Unhygienic. Don't put your fingers in a pot of cream.
No,
for
I'm
a start.
Very anti that now.
And also I think a lot of formulations are not that sophisticated, so they basically like sit on the surface of the skin and they don't hydrate that well, and next time you cleanse it off, get back to where you started. Whereas the addition of things like glycolic acid, lactic acid, hyaluronic acid, those things make a fundamental difference to your skin. Hence the fact, going back to Caroline's brilliant blog, by the way, she's sitting here now opening her mail because we're in Caroline's office. That brilliant blog, I need to find the quote from Caroline.
Which one? This is about getting in the scene.
The one about the young girl that wrote the piece saying that all skincare was a waste of time.
Yeah.
I would have said 30 years ago, probably true. Now, not the case at all. Skincare makes a fundamental difference. Skincare can cure acne. I know as I'm older, skincare can lessen pigmentation, lessen fine lines. But can we just go back to this quote at the end? Caroline Hirons at the end to the woman that said all skincare was
a vain con.
Get in the sea and take your beautiful, young, patronising, condescending attitude and genetically blessed, blemish-free face with you. Amen.
Do I at this point need to say something like, said lady is not here to defend herself, so that I don't get taken off the air? Anyway.
Why? No, why don't you get taken off the air? Screw her.
Stockholm Syndrome. I've got Stockholm Syndrome.
I'm not... I just think the skincare's come on so much, and that's why when I get sort of criticism for the blog saying something different 8 years later, I could have reacted defensively and go on the attack, but where's the value in that? You know, that's not what I'm interested in. So I will go back, read the original blog post, tweak it if need be, you know, then come back to the commenter and say, yeah, you're right, I've tweeted that now, I've fixed that now, but... you know, formulations in the last 2 years, like Nadine said, even the last year, have come on swings and roundabouts from when I first trained. All we had then were like French pharmacy and spa brands. It was all thick, lovely potions and creams, and you know, and you would, I'd see my aunties and my mum and my nan all putting their lovely thick creams on at night, like Lancôme Nutrix.
Yes.
Talk about grease. I love that cream like you would not believe, but I couldn't use it. The smell of it just takes me back to being a kid. You know, and I'm not... I love a pot. I don't mind a pot. I don't mind putting my finger in a pot because it's only my finger and it's full of preservatives. It'll be fine. You know, I wouldn't put my finger in a pot of a cream that said it was a vitamin C that was water-based, because I know that the vitamin C is probably going to do nothing because it's in a water base anyway. And, you know, that kind of is a bit weird. But again, that will change in the next year or two. I think a lot of brands who have... like a vitamin C content, I think brands are now having to keep up with the innovators. So if you have an innovative brand that comes out and does something, the consumer latches onto it. The consumer is not then going to go back to the department store cliche of sell me CTM, cleanse, tone, moisturise. Mm. They want to move on, and they will challenge a brand on social media, and the good brands will go, absolutely, we're going to reformulate, we're going to do this, mm. we're going to fix this, you know, or we're going to bring out this for the same, you know. I just think there's so much, what I love about the industry is that it is constantly changing. And we should encourage it, but it's not, yeah. you know, obviously, in, like we were saying earlier, in terms of things like foundation colours, things, you know, for women of colour, you have to innovate a bit more quickly. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. And
I remember somebody saying to me ages ago, there's just not the market in the UK for more colours. Hello, Fenty. The queue outside. By the way, anybody queuing outside the front of Harvey Nichols,
go around the side entrance.
There's a side entrance that will take you directly to counter. But absolutely. And that was really clever marketing, because there are brands out there with just as many shades. I haven't really talked about it before. I mean, obviously, people like NARS and stuff like that, MAC and stuff like that. There's a market.
Well,
for
isn't
it.
MAC's bestseller at NW? Is it 45?
40 and 50, yeah. And has been for years.
So it doesn't. I don't understand why it didn't filter down. And I remember cutting.
The only reason it didn't filter down is because I don't know if you do brand consultancy, Caroline, but I do a lot of brand consultancy where I go over to Geneva or to Paris or something, and I speak to a room about how to communicate to a woman 50 plus, which would be like the equivalent of Patricia Bright going into a room and saying, how do we communicate with black people? And basically, you look out and there is a room of 35-year-old white people. Mm-hmm. And most of them are men. And you know what? In 2 years' time, they're going to be working on soap powders mm-hmm. or nappies. Mm-hmm. And you just go, it's not difficult. Just reflect us back. Mm-hmm. Hire us in your ads. Hire
us on your team.
Hire us on your teams.
Well, we had this.
Speak to us, even if you don't hire them, because there aren't enough, maybe, women over 55 or black women who are formulating chemists, at least get them in at every step of the way and say, is this all right? Am I patronising you? Is this rubbish? Like, it's the thing, isn't it? Caroline called me out on something on social media the other day, quite rightly so. I had commented on somebody on Instagram who I did not know. I'd mistaken this person, who is actually a really good therapist. I'd mistaken them for a brand. So I'd recommended somebody underneath go to see an alternative therapist. And Caroline went, she sent you a text. It's either mate, capital letters, but it was Nadine, capital letters.
Oh, and no, I'm never going to live this down.
No, and then afterwards, I went back onto the feed. I corrected it. I went straight through to the brand. I apologised to that therapist and said, absolutely, I'm so sorry. I cannot apologise enough. But to be able to stand that, then Caroline goes, I'm really sorry, was I being a dick? And I went, no, you're absolutely right. I'm a semi-powerful voice in the industry. She has a right to be offended if I come from a position of arrogance or ignorance. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was ignorance.
I knew it would never be arrogance.
You have to be powerful enough to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Mm. Yeah, that a lot more people could do with being able to apologise.
You need to be able to apologise. You need to say, I need to learn more. I'm wrong. I don't know everything.
We got it wrong.
Perfect case in point. We were talking about Brandon and Drunk Elephant. Mm. I have no idea. I only know because I interviewed Brandon on my channel, and then a couple of people went, I really don't like the way he came for Drunk Elephant. I don't know why he's apologised, but he has apologised. That's really important.
And donated 25 grand to her charity.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, an elephant charity.
An elephant charity. Mm. Because you need... But I admit, you need to come from a position of, I'm fundamentally stable and
solid.
Confident solid. And solid in who I am. So if you come for me, I'll admit I'm wrong.
Mm.
You have to admit you're wrong. And you have to move on. You have to learn and grow. Otherwise, you don't know that.
And what about having these voices and feeling like, because we talked about this has happened on Twitter this morning, about the fact that there's a bit of an image and there's people who are being given, maybe brands are spending money with them to communicate a message, and yet they are not in a position to really fully communicate that message because they might not be the right demographic, they might not really know anything about the product. I've definitely noticed that recently, and it's been going on for a long time, of seeing people talking about a product and just talking about top line, but hashtag ad, hashtag spawn. Do you get your followers saying this bothers us?
No, because I think my followers are just different. They're just different. They're probably a little bit older and a little bit more engaged. They're quite sussed. Mm. They're quite supportive. They dig deep. They follow these people on whatever channel, you know.
I don't blame them, by the way. I do. I think it's the brands.
I think the brands at the moment, when they're dealing with digital at the moment, it's a little bit wild, wild west. Because in the olden days, if you launched a really expensive cream, you advertised it in Vogue, and if you launched a mass market cream, you advertised it in Hello, or you advertised it in the Sun or the Daily Mail, or you advertised it during Britain's Got Talent, and you went for a reach, okay. Or you went for a completely demographic. So if you had Creme de la Mer advertised, obviously, in Vogue, and Nivea advertised during Britain's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. I get that. Well, the problem is you've got brands now who are trying to advertise their brands, their products, via social media, so via YouTube, I think, and they're literally going for reach. So you've got quite upmarket brands or quite funky brands, or you've got disruptive brands, and quite often they just go for reach, which is essentially like advertising all of your products in the Sun. A lot of people might see it, but not all those people are going to buy it, understand it, get it. And in social media, does pretty sell or doesn't pretty sell? We've talked about this before. Beyonce says pretty hurts, but does pretty sell? I think traditionally...
Do you like the Beyonce quote best?
I think
I think traditionally pretty did sell, but Facetune, filters, fakery, there is a whole group of people for whom that just doesn't ring true now. And I think it started with the movement with Dove and with Boots and with not airbrushing, and it's just part of a wider context. I was with somebody yesterday and I just said, you can spend all the money in the world on an Instagram page or a YouTube channel with some pretty girl with extensions or perfect genetically blessed
boobs that sit up on their own,
airbrushed, or boobs that sit up on their own, but nobody can sell through and educate the way that Caroline Hirons can.
God, this is like I love you too. Should we do this every Friday? Yeah, let's do this all the time. Thanks, Nadine.
But also, I think some
because you have a genuinely engaged, intelligent audience. When people follow you on Instagram, it's not to go, "You're so pretty."
Oh my god, you're so pretty, hun. Oh my god, bae.
Follow me back.
Bae.
You're so pretty.
I don't get bae. Why don't I get bae? Because I'm 48 and I've had 40 years and my tits don't sit up on my own. That's why.
And I was saying to Kate Somerville yesterday, I think it's very interesting because Kate Somerville is being asked to do a lot of social media content. And she went, oh, God, for God's sake, Nadine. I can't remember how old she is, 48, 49. She went, oh, for God's sake, Nadine, I can't. It's not about me. And I went, no, but my feed isn't about me and Caroline's feed isn't about her either. There is a place on social media, on Instagram, on YouTube, that is purely about empowering other women and spreading advice and information. Yeah. It's
You've
not about,
said
I'm
that
so
to me.
Pretty. Because otherwise, I couldn't post a picture of my face with a good conscience. It's because it's not about my face. It's
You've
about
always
what, I'm,
said,
what I'm saying. Yeah. Listen to me.
You've always said to me, because we had the whole selfie discussion quite a while ago, it's uncomfortable, but it does help with your the algorithm supports it apparently, although the algorithm's always changing. And you did say at that time, as long as it has editorial purpose, as long as you're trying to make a point with it and you're not just going, look at me, I look really awesome, look at how pretty my lips are,
I want your likes,
I know, then crack on.
Yeah.
But if it's just,
oh god, they're begging for likes. Oh,
living for likes,
living for
on
likes.
The stories.
No.
I've put a latest picture up.
Go
give
and like
it some
it.
Love.
Oh,
go and like
please,
it. Or the
it.
Begging. The algorithm has changed. Can you engage whatever? I don't even know what the signs are. Look, I don't even know.
Maybe we're just too old. Maybe we need a platform for like grumpy old women. And I say old in the terms of I'm not 25. You know, I don't feel old. I mean, I do today because I'm tired, but I don't feel old. And I do think it's a state of mind. I think my hips might not tell me that soon.
Your pockets.
Cock six is done.
No, it's like I said to Kate Somerville yesterday when she said to me, and I said the same to Polly Vernon, who I really like. She said to me, how come you're the only beauty influencer out there? She doesn't follow you, Caroline.
You just use the I word. Let's talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. The only beauty content provider out there on Instagram that I do not, who posts a selfie and I don't want to punch. And I said, I love Polly Vernon, and she started doing, she was writing a piece about how to become an influencer. She did a piece for a newspaper, which was really funny. And I said, because my message isn't like me, I'm so pretty. Nobody's going to look at me and go, you're so pretty. You're not trying to feed my ego. All I want to do is basically give you 25 years of information and advice. Because if I can do it, you can do it. I want to empower women.
Yeah.
I don't want...
And you're
want
the same.
Totally
the same.
No, and she's the icon of it. Yeah, that's, and Sally Hughes does it as well. There are enough intelligent women out there doing it. And I just think, I did a piece the other day for Space NK where I was talking to, we were talking about the whole Blue Monday thing and was it a whole marketing hype.
Yeah. And the first time I've ever been aware of Blue Monday.
You know, I know. Well, it's only because I'd written health for years that I knew. And I was basically saying, look, if you follow somebody and when you follow them and look through, they make you feel bad about yourself.
Get off there.
Unfollow
abort!
Them.
Abort!
Abort!
Get
abort!
Off!
Unfollow them. I only follow people. I mean, I follow people, actually, that do... I follow key influencers, and I'm using that hideous
air quotes thing.
I follow them because it's my job to. It's work. Mm. And when I engage on my social media feed, I do it with a very... mindful, yeah. Like I don't mindlessly go through it. Otherwise, if I didn't work in the industry, I would only follow people that A, didn't filter themselves, didn't face tune, didn't lie about their age, didn't lie about their work, had the work they'd had done, didn't take that other thing as well. Is because I studied women's studies as part of my university degree, and that thing about when you have a picture of somebody and it's a little bit like, I'm just naturally here, I'm here on holiday, I'm here in the spa, I'm on my private plane, I'm in bed. Ask yourself, who took that picture?
Yeah.
This is a construct. Then take your brain away from that picture, think about how it's been filtered, think about what they're trying to say to you, and if that makes you feel bad about yourself, if looking at that person in that with that perfect body in a bikini, unfollow. Because you know what, I follow Amy Schumer, Julianne Moore, Helen Mirren, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
You follow a handful of people.
I follow celebrities who, Rachel Evanswood,
Deborah Messing,
who do not filter and face tune themselves. And to see,
I don't know how to do it.
To see myself filtered back, reflected back, to see Julianne Moore, I mean obviously she has pictures that she puts up that somebody else has airbrushed, but to see her with no makeup on walking down the road, to me, it's life affirming. It's life affirming because otherwise, you just see perfect people throwing back at you, and I don't need that.
We were watching the other day. Caroline. We were away on a press trip, and we decided not to do one of the exercise classes, and instead we watched Real Housewives of New Jersey on the iPad.
Oh my god!
But we were watching one. I've forgotten her name now. Dolores, and you were saying I love her because most of the season she's not been wearing makeup. You're not wearing makeup today, and there would be plenty of people who wouldn't do this, have us two trot up and not wear makeup.
I've got makeup on, but only because you said you wanted a picture with us all to put on main grid.
Main grid bitch.
Yeah. but I spend most of my time without makeup. We're in Caroline's office. If we were in my office at home, I wouldn't have makeup on.
Can I just tell Caroline about the time I turned up at her house? This was actually the night of the breast cancer awareness thing. I turn up from work and I'm in the kitchen. It was when I was doing ketosis, trying to get into ketosis. So I literally had slices of chicken breast and spinach and no dressing. And she was like, you sure we don't want some balsamic? When I arrived, she's in a vest and some like palazzo sort of relaxed jersey trousery type things. You can tell I'm not a very good fashion person. And she says, I'm just going to go up and change. And she's just, no shoes, very casual. I'm like, oh, I'm only in jeans and a jumper, this is fine. She strides downstairs in that leopard print full-length maxi and 6-inch heels. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Absolutely
that
great.
That said, tell them what I was like when you knocked on the door at Chewton Glen.
I was not expecting this. So we had an adjoining foyer and... We were like, oh, when the breakfast arrives, because they put these breakfast things through your hatch. Not a euphemism.
And we decided to eat... We decided to eat them on the balcony, because I live in the centre of town, and to eat outside...
Yeah, a nice little green.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
I think we should have been on a beach doing a 5K run or something, but we were doing this instead. So I knocked on the door. Nadine opens it in just a pair of knickers.
Nice.
Not a pretty size.
And she really does have Kate Moss's boobs.
Kate Moss's mother's face.
She told me that years ago because we were at some press launch and I was talking about the fact that I would like a breast reduction, which I still haven't had. And Nadine said to me, the only time you have to worry about a breast reduction is if you're ever doing it doggy style and you hear this.
I can't believe you just said that. That's a WhatsApp group.
You would 100% say that on your channel.
I don't know.
Too late now. Don't have Stockholm Syndrome.
No, you're right.
It's out there. Who cares? We all have sex, Nadine. Get over it.
She's Emma's miming it.
I'm miming the clapping. Anyway, sorry, how did we get onto you answering the door in your pants?
About not wearing makeup and being comfortable and owning honest. It. We were having a really good conversation about Ruth Crilly this morning, another person I find really life-affirming on YouTube, on Instagram as well. Just women that are just funny and self-effacing and real. I find Erica Davis really life-affirming.
Yeah.
She does this thing where she goes, look at my house. And she goes, Instagram, and then she turns it around, and she goes, Instasham, and then she shows what her house actually looks like. It makes my heart... I want to follow people that make my heart swell. But I think afterwards, you know what, I want to be your friend. Yeah. Let's go for a drink.
I don't want to stab you.
No, exactly.
In the eye.
But it's even... I feel like this whole honesty and sort of sharing yourself in a really controlled way has become... A really nice place on the internet. Like, Sam did that video last night about being diagnosed with depression, and then she did an Instagram live for an hour and she just answered any questions. And I think it was very boundaried. She was like, there are certain things I'm going to talk about, there are certain things I'm not going to talk about because they're too personal.
Yeah.
But for people to find that as a conversation, because if somebody does that in a magazine, like in Days of Yore, when we'd do an interview with someone who was going through depression, it stops there. There's no dialogue.
Yeah.
So that's what's really nice.
And that's when social media and digital can be incredibly empowering. Mm. And I think, again, I'm a huge fan of Sam and Nick as well. I mean, apart from the fact that they have flawless skin, that's what I mean about curate your feed.
Mm.
Curate your feed so that people are... So when you go on Instagram, it is pure joy.
Who do you follow, Caroline?
I follow loads of people.
Who do you love to follow? Who do you find really empowering?
Oh, God. Who do I always check first thing?
Phillips.
I check Ruth, Busy Phillips. Ellen.
Do I need to follow Ellen?
I love a bit of Ellen. Well, it's show clips as well. It's not so much her. I follow Anna Ciccone. She's my girlfriend. I follow you, Baggers. Oh, Susie Verrill.
Who's Susie Verrill?
She's the lady who won at the J&J Awards the other day, isn't she?
No. Susie Verrill is a blogger who has two adorable small children called Milo and Rex, but she's also... her partner is Greg Rutherford, the long jumper.
Oh.
But she is so funny, and she... Because they're always... You know, they occasionally are in the Daily Mail, and when she had her baby and he's got sort of, like, dirty blonde hair, she had comments in the Daily Mail saying things like, I can't believe we're breeding more gingers.
Oh,
but she reads them out in a funny Tunbridge Wells voice. And she'll go, well, actually, I think you'll find we're both very disappointed because he's actually blonde. And I love her.
My response to that was being, I can't believe you're lucky enough to have sex with Greg Rutherford.
I did. He does. So I follow
he's
Greg.
So cute.
I follow Greg by default. But, like, she'll take the piss out of him. So she did. You know he was on Strictly.
Mm.
So she did a little thing on Insta Stories of his good moves on Strictly and said the moves that led to Rex. And then the next one was him doing really appallingly on a samba or something, and it said the moves that did not lead to Rex. Yeah. So I love her. Like, but exactly what you said, Nadine. People who always have their makeup off. She's always got her boobs out, but she covers it. I don't want to see a tit.
Mm.
I'm all for breastfeeding. I just don't want it in my face when I'm drinking my tea in the morning.
What celebrities do you follow?
Oh, God.
Because I have a mix of sort of... I can't quite believe it, like Beyonce and Madonna. Mm. And then I do have the people who generally just like Helen Mirren put a picture up the other day. She goes having lunch with the girls, and they were all these women in their late 60s, early 70s, and it was a slightly out of focus picture in a restaurant that you and I would go to. Just makes my heart sing. It really
Eva
does.
Eva Chen, I love Eva Chen.
Mm.
Drew Barrymore.
Gotta love a bit of Drew.
I like a bit of Drew, but I had to unfollow her because of the natural skincare.
Goop
thing.
When I did nearly unfollow her with Goop, I did have to nearly unfollow her with Goop.
Yeah. Could you, because to be honest, if I don't particularly get it or like it, I just disengage, whereas you guys all have a well thought out reason why you've disengaged. Please, could you explain to me Goop and why it is not
dangerous?
Yes. Your words, not mine.
Well, I mean, the easiest thing to do is go and read Dr. Jen Gunter's blog post.
Oh, I love Jen Gunter!
So Jen Gunter is a OBGYN who first took on Goop when they were recommending shoving jade eggs up your fanny. And she was like, don't do that.
Author of the immortal line, I'm an OBGYN, I don't have a special vagina routine. It's like an oven, it's self-cleansing.
Yeah, but my favourite bit was, she came out against them, and at first she just did it very matter-of-factly as a doctor. They came back and went at her, which I found very entertaining. That whole thing about Jim's T-shirt, underestimate me, that'll be fun. And she changed her bio, her Twitter feed, because they said something like, We are appropriately confident that our doctors are blah, blah, blah or something. So she changed her Twitter feed to call herself appropriately confident OBGYN. Because she was like, I basically, you know, she more or less said, I've had my head inside women's vaginas for 25 years, pretty much. But she went to Goop, the in-health festival they've just had in New York, went in under her own name, bought her ticket and reviewed it. And I would just leave it there because it's very entertaining.
It's a brilliant piece.
There's a woman who talks about how she fought her cancer through good thoughts. There's a woman who said that something about a child dying, and that was just his journey, and the parents have to accept it. Like proper stuff where you would pick up your phone and throw it into the sea.
So this is where Nadine would be. You'd just set fire to yourself.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be able to keep quiet. No, and I'm not saying that there isn't a part of me that doesn't want to be Gwyneth Paltrow's and Chelsea Handler's best friends. Trust me.
They'd be so lucky.
But honestly, hand on heart, somebody said to me the other day, "What do you think of Goop skincare?" And I said, "Never tried it."
You haven't.
I bought the whole lot.
Never tried it, but wouldn't buy into that brand full stop because I find it really dangerous. And I find the disordered eating that it promotes highly dangerous and highly suspect. I don't buy the natural skincare is better.
No.
Toxic. Chemical-free, toxic-free skincare. It's all utter bollocks.
This is a huge, huge thing right now, isn't it, of toxic skincare. Why? Because whenever you, Sam Farmer, there's a lot of people on Twitter.
I love Sam Farmer.
Brilliant. People say, oh, if you put it on your skin, your body absorbs it and you're poisoning yourself. Caroline, anything you want to add to that?
No. Well, you know, not in language that's probably appropriate for a podcast. Skincare is not toxic. There's nothing on the market that's going to kill you. You have a liver and a kidney. They detox you. They do it quite well. If they don't, you'd know about it because you'd be in hospital and you'd probably be a nice shade of yellow.
Mm.
You know, and it's insulting to me that to people who have genuine medical issues. It pisses me off no end. And I've kind of stopped. I won't engage in anyone who's like very actively sort of anti-vaxxers, pro green. When they use words like toxic, they lose me, you know. And so I can't. It brings me. I had to stop last year because when my son got mumps and was hospitalised, and I did the blog post about it saying, sorry, I've been away, guys. You know, he had mumps, we've been in hospital, blah, blah, blah. I nearly killed him. An anti-vaxxer jumped on the comments. And I came from a very calm place, but I was basically, you need to stay away from me and my children.
Mm.
You're irresponsible, get off my page. And I can't. It just sends me into a I can't. Like, what?
I'm not naming names because it's not my story, but there is a very famous clean eating healthy guru that told a friend of mine who had breast cancer that essentially she wasn't surprised because of the way she ate. She basically told my friend
it was her fault.
That it was her fault she got breast cancer.
No.
And I met her at a launch the other day, and it was as much as I could do to stop myself from punching her.
Yeah.
Smug bitch.
If I was near someone when they said that, I would intervene.
Mm.
I would have to intervene.
Well, it really upset the person who had breast cancer.
Of course. It was also... you got triggered already because you... I ordered a soy latte the other day. And there was a health guru nearby, and as I had ordered it, Nadine said to me, "You're not worried about the phytoestrogens in that?" And before I could even answer, this health guru chimed in and said something, and I just thought, "I'm going to have to come between them."
She was 23 and a fitness instructor with no nutritional qualifications.
Wait, she said that to you?
She said to me, Nadine.
I didn't realise. She said I had a soy, and you have to be really careful. If you have hormonal issues, which you do, and you've owned them, and you have a lot of soy, you do have to be careful. Like, you would need to tell your hormone doctor that you'd have a lot of soy, because you don't know how your body is metabolising that. And she basically went, "It's not a problem." And then, what did I say something about? I can't eat beans and pulses, which I do privately, but because I do not want to
fart at home
in
peace.
Your face. Yes, so I don't eat publicly. So we turned up for lunch, and there was a massive piece of broccoli.
I know they offered you some cauliflower
and loads of cauliflower and beans and pulses. And I said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. You know, if we're going to do yoga later, I really can't eat this." And the expert said, and again, I'm using air quotes, looked across me and she went, "If you buy organic and you triple wash them, you'll be fine."
Oh, shut up.
And Emma put her hand under the table and just squeezed my knee in a sort of...
Don't kill her. Don't kill her.
Also,
it'll be fine.
You know,
it'll
be fine. You know, Nadine usually wears 5-inch heels. They were kicking me in the shin under the table.
Oh, I can't deal.
Because you are a nudger and a kicker.
I'm firmly on the side of science. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely firmly on the side of science. And the clever thing about science is it's not fact until it's proven, and it continually changes because they're continually discovering new things. But woo, crystals, marketing hype around things, toxins, chemical free.
So natural skincare, things like natural deodorant, thoughts?
The argument with natural deodorants was primarily aluminium, which is the idea that if you use an aluminium salt and you block your sweat glands, you'll have a build up of toxins. You won't, you'll sweat somewhere else. Or it's the paraben thing, that original study, as in parabens cause cancer. Rubbish. A lot of parabens are found in the food we eat every day. Apples contain parabens. It's rubbish. I'm not anti-parabens.
And the first paraben study that was done by a company that offered an alternative preservative system.
Right. And also, that original study, which was the parabens found in breast cancer cells, what you've got to realise is the pipettes and the petri dishes and the flasks that they use in a lab are all covered in parabens. Mm. They just are. And I don't, you know, I've spoken to people like Liz Earle about it, and I've said, why did you go paraben free? She went, Nadine, they're completely safe. That's what the consumer wants.
That's what the consumer wants.
It's scaremongering. What I'm saying to you now, hand on heart, is there are alternative to parabens. Obviously, there are a whole generation of products because these skincare companies have been forced to develop them. They've not been tested. They've not been used on skin for 20 or 30 years. You're the guinea pig for them. You go for it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is if you buy a pot of oils, less so, balms, less so, but if you buy a pot of water-based something that has got, is paraben-free or chemical-free, and you put your fingers in it, you come back, that will literally be like a Petri dish. I mean, you know, a lot of people leave their lids off of creams, flush the toilet, and then the toilet comes up. Without parabens, you'd have mould all right for that. Thank God for parabens. Thank God for science. Thank God for chemotherapy. Thank God for antibiotics. Thank God for drugs. I wouldn't be here without them.
Right.
Oh, not God. The scientists.
No, I don't mean thank God, actually. I don't believe in God. I believe in science.
I like the Neil... Neil deGrasse
Tyson. I love Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The good thing about
single?
Science is that it's true, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Woo!
And also, he's hot. Do you think he's single? Yeah. I love Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. We've rang.
He was taking down the blue moon, the super moon, the other day.
Oh God.
He took down. He didn't take down the super moon. He just said, "How can it honestly be a super moon? Do you understand how this works? The orbit is not a perfect circle. Therefore, at certain times it is closer. It does not mean that it is a bigger moon, you bunch of idiots."
Nice.
I must find that, put it on my Facebook.
What are we
feed.
Up to? How many hours have we done?
We've done 8 hours. So
split it into two.
Yeah. No, I'm going to ask you about acids because I feel like I can't talk about acids.
Do you want to start?
I can't have Caroline Hirons in there and not talk about acids. Right, and here's my observation.
Okay.
And this comes... I was already going to ask you about this. She's adopted the University Challenge pose at the table.
I'm listening. Go ahead,
right.
Brian.
I was already going to bring
your
this up.
Your start of a 10 University of Life is...
And then Alter Bridge. There is... we saw something this morning,
mm-hmm.
and which was bringing up percentages. So I have a twofold question now with acids.
Mm-hmm.
All the different types and understanding what it does in very simple terms. And also, I'm beginning to worry, and I wonder if you agree, whether brands are now going to start putting percentages everywhere in order to confuse and just make a lot of noise about acid so that everyone thinks, oh, I need a 10%, I need this, I need this. Mm. But then actually that 10% isn't representative of the acids, it's representative of something else. And it's just going to become a marketing thing.
Hang on.
At this point, listeners, it became essential for us all to pop and have a loo break. So that's why we are going to pause it here. So in order to find out the answer to that question, in order to find out what Caroline's thoughts are and Nadine's thoughts are on acids and a whole lot more, trust and believe, there's another hour of this. Please tune in same time next week to The Emma Gunn Show. We'll be right back.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.